John chapter 17 this morning. Thank you for being here today. Again, if you're a guest with us today, we're honored to have you. We appreciate you being with us. And as we continue in John chapter 17, you know, one of the things that I think one of the most neglected things in our lives, if we'd be honest, is prayer. I mean, can we be honest? Let's just get real this morning with each other and with ourselves. The most neglected thing, I think, for the Christian is prayer. And we pray when we need something, and we want others to pray for us when we need something, but that intimate relationship, that intimate time spending with the Lord is neglected. And so in chapter 17, Jesus gives us the example of prayer. He also shows us that he is praying for us. And that's what we see in verse 20. If we can, let's stand together, if you're able, as we respect the reading of the Word of God. And again, I'm probably not going to be real fiery this morning, but I'm going to get it. Amen. So you pray for us. The Bible said, "Neither pray I for these alone." This is Jesus speaking as he's praying. And he gives us the example of prayer. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone." Notice this, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Notice that theme in that verse there. One. Not two, not five, one. And he goes on to say in verse 23, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect," notice, "perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the truth of what you try to teach us. And I pray this morning, if there'd be just one that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, touch their heart, show them their need of salvation. If there's division, I pray, God, that you would unite us as a body of believers. God, help us to be one not only with each other, but one with you. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this church. Thank you for what you're doing in it. And perfect us, I pray, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'll ask you this question, and is there one person here this morning that by your own testimony you would say that you are perfect? I'm looking. My wife's smiling. I don't know what that means. Is there somebody that you know that thinks that they're perfect? Huh? Now we're getting real, aren't we? See, we notice that in others. We notice that fact that they think they're perfect, but oftentimes we don't see that we think we are as well. Now, we'll say we're not, right? We'll say, well, nobody's perfect, and we often do that when we mess up. But we don't extend that same grace and forbearance towards others, do we? We look at them and say, well, they think they're perfect, and I know I'm not, and so therefore I'm really better than they are. This type of perfection is not what we're talking about. The word perfect means complete, right? We know that on this earth, in this body, with this mind, with these mouths, amen, that we are not complete, and we will not be complete. But the idea is that with the help of Jesus Christ, him living through us, that we are becoming more complete, right? That every day we are becoming more like Christ. That should be our goal. That should be our growth process. Not that we wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm perfect, I don't make mistakes. Or we look at others and say, well, they think they're perfect. And you know, honestly, that's the testimony. That's the perception a lot of folks have of Christians. They think that we think that we're perfect. But if you're truly a believer and you understand this thing called Christianity, you realize we're not perfect. We're getting there, right? And so we need to be real careful, because oftentimes what we'll do, we'll look down our nose at someone that we think is less Christian than we are. We don't want to hear others tell us that we're less Christian than they are, right? When we see that, we'll say, well, they're judging us. But then we turn around and we'll look at someone else and say, well, they can't be saved, or they're not right with God, or whatever it is. And so therefore, we're always in that process of kind of debating, I'm not what I should be, but I'm not what I used to be. And that's a good testimony, except when we put it on others, right? And so in this scripture, we come to the closing of Christ's prayer in John 17. Jesus will soon be betrayed. And think about this. We've been looking at the life of Christ over the last 2 years. We've seen his birth. We've seen his perfect life. We've seen him heal. We've seen him feed. We've seen him train and teach his disciples. And in the next 3 chapters, we see it all coming to an end. Now Jesus, knowing that his crucifixion is at hand, prays once again for his disciples. A prayer of perfection. We look and say, well, you just said we can't be perfect. Well, again, let's not look at the world's idea of perfection. Let's look at the Bible idea of perfection. That we are becoming complete. That we are seeing the deficiencies in us that are becoming efficient. That we're seeing God doing a work in us so that we can do a work in others. My friend, that's what it's all about. It's not about your little world. It's about God doing something in you so that you can affect and impact a world outside the walls of the church that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. So how does he do that? Well, as we look here, we see 3 things I'll share with you. Number one is the prayer ministry of Jesus. Listen, praying, we often discount it by saying, well, it's just talking to the Lord. And in one sense, that's correct. It is, right? It is a conversation that you and I have with God. But we also need to understand that it is a ministry. And we oftentimes look at ministry as the music ministry or the children's ministry or the Sunday school ministry or the outreach ministry. And those are important. But may I say that every person in here, regardless of your physical ability, regardless of how you feel, can be involved in prayer ministry. You don't have to have a talent. You don't have to have, excuse me, an ability. You simply have to know how to talk to the Lord. And so the Lord gives us the example of the prayer ministry of Jesus in verse 20. He says, neither pray I for these alone. I'm not just praying for these 12. I'm not just praying for this handful. And you know what we do oftentimes? We have a handful of people that we pray for, and that is it. And you know who is normally at the top of the list? Hello? When's the last time you prayed for your spouse and your children? When's the last time you prayed for your pastor? When's the last time you prayed for your Sunday school teacher? When's the last time there's 120 prayer cards back there for missionaries? When's the last time you grabbed a handful and said, I'm going to pray for them every single week? When's the last time you prayed for these kids over here, or the Spanish ministry, or this family at another church that just lost a mother and a wife? When's the last time you lifted someone else up in prayer besides yourself and your need? For the fact is, the prayer ministry is not about praying for you. It's about interceding for others. And Jesus gives the example in verse 20 and says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall. So he's looking not only at the handful that have already believed, he's looking in the future at those that shall believe.
So we have to not only pray for our friends and family and church family and those that are believers, but there's a lost and dying world out there that somebody needs to step in and intercede. My friend, the devil is doing all he can to grab them and snatch them into hell, and somebody needs to stand in the gap. Somebody needs to be in the prayer closet. Somebody needs to be the one handing these tracts out and saying, listen, I want to intercede. I want to step in the gap. If nobody else will do it, I'll be the one. And that is what Jesus is doing, showing us the prayer ministry that all of us can have. So who'd he pray for? Well, he prays for sinners. When's the last time you prayed for a sinner? Oh, we pray, Brother Johnny, Lord, meet my financial need, take care of my children, give me a good job, help me make the right decision, help our church to reach people. But when's the last time that there's somebody God laid on your heart? I asked you at the beginning of the year that you'd have a burden for one person this year. One person that you know that is lost and on their way to hell. Just one. If every person in this auditorium got burdened about one person, two people, three people, whatever it is, when are you and I going to get burdened as Jesus was burdened for the lost and say, it's not enough just to show up for church. It's not enough to sing the songs we sing. It's not enough to pray about my need. It's not enough to pray for my family. It's got to be enough when I start interceding for others and realizing there's a world on their way to hell. My friend, it's not politics. It's not Washington. It's not Hollywood. It is a real devil and a real enemy that is at the gate trying to rip people into hell. And you and I are what stands in between them and eternity. Jesus knew that. He says, not only do I pray for those that you've given me, but I want to pray for those that shall believe on me through their word. So he prays for sinners. He prays for struggling saints. I don't know about you. I love when people pray for me, don't you? But I sure do love that Jesus is praying for me. May I say, if I had someone that I needed, Brother Mark, I'd say, listen now, I need to get a loan from the bank. And you, Brother Johnny, said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you, preacher. He said, my aunt, my favorite aunt, she is the bank president. Boy, she owes me a favor. And I'm going to go talk to her for you. And I've got the inside track. I've got the inside scoop. It is almost guaranteed that you'll get that loan, get what you need. You know what I'd do? I'd talk to Brother Johnny every single day. I'd say, Brother, how's it going? And I'd probably take him out and buy him a steak, amen, and take care of him. And because you know what? He's got the inside track to what I need. Well, you realize that Jesus Christ is interceding for you as you struggle. It's one thing to have the deacons or the pastor praying for you. But maybe what we ought to do is stop going to everybody else and making everything known among the world in social media and simply going to a Savior that intercedes and say, Lord, I can have everybody praying for me, but I'd rather you be praying for me. I'm struggling right now. I'm hurting. I can't keep my head above water. It seems like everything's going wrong, and the preacher can't give me any help, and the deacons can't give me any help, and the TV can't give me any help, and the psychologist can't give me any help. Maybe we ought to go straight to the one that can really do the can help, the one that can really intercede on our behalf. I'm glad for those that pray for me, but I sure am glad that I've got a Savior that intercedes. I'm glad, hallelujah, that he's ever living to make intercession for me throughout all eternity. I'm glad that I have a Savior that's at the right hand of the Father, whispering in the Father's ear, that boy needs some help, amen. He cares about you, he loves you, and he's praying for you. He not only prays for sinners and struggling saints, but he also prays for the sending of the Comforter. Listen, you know what we need in this day? We don't, look up here, we don't need dead, dry religion. We need the Holy Spirit of God to work through some believers. And Jesus said he was going to pray for the comforter for them. In other words, they could get more accomplished because the Holy Spirit of God would indwell them than Jesus could while he was on this earth. You know what we need today? We need more of the power of God. Man, we don't need religion. We don't need stand up, sit down, go home, come back. We need God to intervene in this day. We need something supernatural to happen in our churches. We need a revival that will turn this world upside down like we see in the book of Acts. But we don't get it because you and I are satisfied where we are. Amen, preacher. Listen, you don't have to say amen. I know I'm right on this. Fact is, when are you and I going to say it ain't the preacher, it ain't the singing, it's not the atmosphere, it is me, O Lord. We ought to draw a circle around ourselves and say it's me, God. I'm the one that needs revival. I'm the one that needs the power of God in my life. I'm the one who needs to get you ready for this? I'm the one who needs to get the junk out so I can get more of God in. And then he prays for the saints of God. Not only when we're struggling, but when we're not struggling. I want to know, Brother Eddie, I want to know there's people praying for me even when I'm not struggling. Because I don't know about you, but the best offense is a good defense. It's a whole lot easier to pray before you get in a mess than it is to wait till you get in a mess and then learn to pray. It's a whole lot easier. Listen, I'm just going to say this. It's a whole lot easier to take care of yourself before the doctor says you've got 1 month to live. I mean, if you go ahead and start doing it now, you may not hear the doctor say you got 1 month to live. But when you got 1 month to live, it's probably too late. Amen. Same thing with praying. Listen, you can wait till you get in a mess and start praying, but isn't it a whole lot better to go ahead and start praying before you ever get there? Don't wait till you get in the dumps. Don't wait till you get in the pit. Maybe you don't have to go in the pit if you'd spend the time in prayer. So he prays for the saints of God. Do you get that? I mean, you have got the Prince of Glory, the Savior of the world, not some guy with his collar turned around backwards. Not some guy that, listen, does all. You've got the Savior of the world praying for you. You've got the Son of God standing in there for you. Listen, how many of you used to watch Perry Mason? Amen? Boy, what a lawyer he was, right? But you got the greatest advocate that has ever been in the Lord Jesus. These young people saying, who in the world's Perry Mason? Y'all need to watch TV Land or something, hallelujah. You've got the greatest advocate ever in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, he's never lost an argument. He's never lost a case. He's always won. And he's in your corner on your behalf praying for you. Hallelujah. So we see the prayer ministry of Jesus. Number two, we see the purpose of his prayer. The Bible says in verse 21, that they may be one. You ought to circle that about 9 million times. That they may be all may be one. Didn't say part. Didn't say this half. Didn't say three quarters. My Bible says this, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, that I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So, can we agree this morning that unity is pretty important to God? May not be important to us, but it's important to God. Here in these two verses, if we count them, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, I think. Four times he mentions the word one. If God mentions something one time, it's important. Can we agree with that? If he mentions it two times, time to really take notice. But four times in two verses, you and I ought to realize this, that unity among the believers is important to the Lord. I don't mean compromise. I don't mean throw out everything we believe so we can get along. I mean that you and I should be on the same page serving the same God. And you know what else? Everybody may not believe just like we do. I know, you remember when Jesus and the disciples came down off the Mount of Transfiguration? And the disciples, they had to be good independent Baptists because they looked down and said, "Hey, Lord, we rebuked them. We was going to call fire down on their head because they weren't doing it like we were doing it." And Jesus said, "Leave them alone. If they're not against us, they're for us. They're with us." Now let me say this. You ready? Nowhere, Brother Kessler, do I see where Jesus said, "Okay, well now let's go hang out with them." Didn't say, "Let's all come together." That's this ecumenical movement. Let's all just put everything different aside. Didn't say that. But I don't have to trash them either. They may not do it like we do it. Doesn't mean we may get to heaven and figure out we were all dumb. But neither do I have to trash them. Neither do I have to run them down. Neither do I have to get on Facebook and blow them out and have everybody give me a thumbs up, say amen right there. See, we got too many people trying to cause division and build their kingdom instead of building the kingdom of God. We don't all have to do it the same way. I may not like their music. I may not like the way they dress. Whatever it is, I may not like. But listen, it's not my place to go around blowing everybody out. If I worry about me and serving God, I'll have enough problem fixing me. But if God's people can't come and be one, I mean, if you as a church cannot come together and be one and realize there's a bigger cause out there, there is a real devil, there's a real world, there's a real enemy. Listen, the Lord Jesus is coming back real soon. And I tell you what, I may be wrong, I may stand before God and God say, "You know what, you were wrong about this whole thing." But I don't want to stand up before God and say, "Buddy, you caused division and you caused problems and you are worse, you're a shepherd that scatters the sheep." I don't want to be that. But you better not be that either. You know what? I'm thankful for our church, praise God. Far as I know, I don't know everything, but I know a lot. Far as I know, Brother Eddie, we don't have a lot of division. We don't have a lot of schisms. We have. But God's moved some stuff here and there. Bible said, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" We don't have a lot of division. I praise the Lord for that. I'd rather have peace in the church than have this big, humongous church. If everybody can work together, see, if we can be one, have the same mind, one vision, one heart for God, realizing we don't have to agree on everything. Y'all can be wrong about your basketball team if you want to. Hallelujah. It doesn't bother me a bit. We can still be friends. But we ought to agree on some things. We ought to agree on that book. We ought to agree on salvation. We should agree that there's a world outside of these walls that needs Jesus. And they're not going to get it with us criticizing and running each other down. The Lord says, "Hey, I pray for unity, one." The Lord desires his saints be united as he and the Father are united, and our unity impresses the world. You know why? I'll tell you why, because look at this. You ready for this? I don't care what side of the aisle you are. You're a donkey or an elephant. Let me tell you what's going on in our country. Division. Division. Everybody wants their little project. And it didn't just start, by the way, in 2016 with the current president. It's been going on for decades. Everybody wants their way. In our society, everybody wants their way. If we don't get our way, we stick our thumb in our mouth and we pout. Huh? In church, if we don't get our way, we stick our thumb in our mouth till we can't take it anymore and we leave and go find somewhere else and we say, oh, I get my way now, till you don't get your way. One, unity is what God wants because the world knows nothing about it. The world's saying, we don't want a bigger cause. My biggest cause is me. My biggest cause, my biggest thing I'm fighting for is me. My friend, as believers, what we're fighting for is the cause of Christ. And so he, purpose of his prayer is that we have unity. When we do, God is glorified. You want to glorify God? Learn how to get along. Not only unity, but then also perfection. Notice what he said in verse 22, the glory which thou gave me I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So not only is the purpose of his prayer unity, it is perfection. And we said perfection means complete. Now you and I realize that we will not be perfect or complete in this body. But let me ask you this on a personal level. Are you more complete today than you were yesterday? How many of you this morning, you like putting together jigsaw puzzles? Nobody. A couple people. I hate them. I like the big ones. The kids used to have like 8 pieces, you know. Those were good. But it's Ellen and I don't know if it's Hannah or Luke who it was, kind of got into making some jigsaw puzzles and they'd have them on there. And there are these little pieces everywhere. And I guess some people they've got a gift for, you know, looking at those pieces and saying, oh, that goes right there. And Ellen, she'd be putting them in there, I mean, just like that. And I'd get a piece, Brother Martin, I'd go, nope, nope, nope. And they all look the same to me. I can't stand it. I think I've got ADHD, PPD, well, I don't know what I got. But I have no patience, Brother Marty, to take a little tiny piece of paper and try to figure where it goes. I don't like that. Because some of you like that. You know why? Because you've got patience. But imagine that you take that puzzle, right? Let's say we all enjoy putting puzzles together. We're gonna make believe for a little bit. All right? We all like putting puzzles together. So we spend hours and hours and hours and days and days and days taking those little pieces and putting them exactly where they're supposed to go. Now, how many has this ever happened to you? You do that and you've got a child. Or a critter. And all of a sudden, all this work that you've put into it, they come by and they go, oh. And all of your pieces and all of your hard work ends up in the floor. Or you put 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pieces, and then little by little each day they come and take a piece out. And then you put more and they take a piece out. Every day they're taking peace out. Would that frustrate you? Would it anger you? Why does it not anger you when it comes to your Christian life? Because every day as you walk with God, he's putting those pieces together in your puzzle of life. So that when it's all said and done, you're going to have a complete picture. You're going to be complete. But you know what? We're like those little kids. God's doing a work in us. And so we get off track a little bit and we start taking pieces out. Maybe 2 pieces, 1 piece, 2 pieces here, but the work God's trying to do in us, we are slowly going backwards. We're not becoming complete, see? And we look around and say, well, you know what? Brother Mark, he's a deacon, he's a Christian. Pastor, he's a Christian. Brother Jerry, he's a trustee. Brother Johnny, he's been saved a long time. Brother Kenneth, they're not perfect either. So you know what we do? We start looking at everybody else's puzzle and see how complete their puzzle is, and we say, well, we're as complete, our puzzle of life is as complete as theirs. And we never grow. We never see the puzzle complete. We don't see progress. And so a lot of folks, you know what I do? We look at that puzzle and, you know, I'm pretty good at the outside edge. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Everybody does the outside edge first. You know why? Because you can figure out where it goes. Now, if I were to do a puzzle and I did the outside edge and I'd get frustrated after about a day of not figuring out where the rest, I'd just tear the outside edge apart, wouldn't you? Miss Diane's going, yep, that's what I do. You ready for this? You've sabotaged the work that you've done. Spiritually, that's what Christians do now. The very work that God is doing in them, they're pulling the pieces out. Hey, they get the, God gets the outside frame and they go, man, I'm starting to see a little progress. I'm starting to see a little shape. I'm starting to see what God's trying to do. The picture is starting to make a little bit of sense, and we put some pieces in there, and guess what we start doing? Pulling them out. Make sense? Complete. We're to be complete in Jesus. Maturity is developed by depending on Christ. Now, I'm not real smart, but here's what I do. If I was in a puzzle putting together a contest, let me tell you who I'd get. My wife. Because she's better at it than I am. Can I ask you something? When it comes to this puzzle called life, why are you trying to do it when there's somebody that could do it better for you? Why are you trying to put all the pieces together when there's a God in heaven that can do it better than you can and wants to do it for you, but you won't get out of the way and let him do it? God uses his word to perfect us. Here's the instruction manual. You know what you do with that puzzle? If you're smart, you get the, you know what they do? They put the picture on the front of the box, and so you get the picture and you get the where all the pieces are and you put it down. Then you set the picture up like that so you can look. That don't help me a bit. I just want to find out who made the picture and choke them out. But for you that are good, you look at that and go, well, that's what it's supposed to look at. And there's a piece and that probably goes right there. There's the picture, right? Well, can I tell you where the picture is? The picture's right here. God's giving you the finished picture right here. And if you don't spend time looking at the picture, looking in the Word of God, figuring out what God wants, you're never going to complete the puzzle. Hey, it's one thing to have the picture. It's still hard when you got the picture putting the puzzle together. But if you don't even have the picture, you're just throwing stuff down. And God's giving you the instruction manual right here. Why do you think your life's going to be good if you won't even look at the instruction manual? God's word perfects us. You ready for this? God's people perfects us. Now, I know, listen, I know there's a big push today about the organized church. Oh, we don't need the organized church. You can be a Christian, not go to church. You can. You want to stay home? Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. But why would you not want to be around people that make you better? I mean, let's just be straight. You ready? For some folks, this is the best they're going to act all week is in church. Why would you at least not want to be around some folks that make you better? We need each other. God uses the saints of God to perfect us. iron sharpeneth iron. And if you're not around iron, guess what? You're not going to get any sharper. And so God gives us a local church so that we can make each other better and help each other in our walk with God. And when you don't have that local church, or when you decide not to come to that local church, you're missing a tool that God has to perfect you. Say, I can watch it online. Not the same. Listen, I love watching online when I'm not here. But there's nothing like being around God's people. There's nothing like being around God's house, around the things of God, around the people of God. There's nothing like it. You can't substitute, so you may as well come to church every time the doors are open. Hallelujah, good preaching. And then number three, I'll finish with this, the proclamation of Christ in verse 25, 26. He said, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Now look at verse 26. He said, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There's two words I want you to see in verse 26. One is declare, and the other is love. So the proclamation of Christ is this. He speaks truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what your Bible says. The Word of God is truth, right? Can we agree with that? The second thing is love, all right? So we grow by taking in truth. Luke and I were having a conversation last night. He's going to college, and he's in a class. They're kind of a speech class, and they have topics they have to debate. And so this last topic, he said, was on climate change. I rolled my eyes. I said, I know where that's going. I said, praise God, getting warmer. I don't know. I bet if they were in Minnesota about 2 weeks ago, they didn't believe in climate change because it's negative 70 degrees, praise God. And you know what's amazing to me? If it's too cold, they say it's global warming. Yeah. Yeah. If it's too hot, it's global. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Either it's too hot or too cold, right? So they're putting in these kids' mind this climate change, saying, well, it's because of the cows, you know, and it's because of the CO2, and it's because of the emissions of the cars, and this whole new Green Deal they're coming up with. It's stupid. Right. Let me tell you what it is. It's a power grab to get your money and get your life and say, we're controlling you, right? That's what it is. I mean, you look, and they know this, but they won't. Brother Whalen, they lie. They know that the earth goes through cycles, weather patterns, that every so often, you know, the Allstate commercial guy says, we've had 15 storms, 100-year storms in the last 10 years. You know what I would say? They're not 100-year storms, they're 10-year storms. Right? I mean, you know, and we're going, can you believe that? We've had 15 100-year storms in the past 10 years. Okay, what does that prove? And so what they're doing is they're propagating opinion. They're propagating, said, well, experts say. Okay, so you can't find experts that'll lie. It goes back to the same thing of tell your truth. It's not your truth or my. There's a truth. There's one thing that happened. God, let God be true. The only thing that matters is what God says. Doesn't matter your opinion, my opinion. I don't care what anybody else say. It matters what God says. And so he spoke the truth about the Father, and we grow by taking in truth. You get smarter by taking in truth, but you get wiser by taking in truth. You grow by taking in truth. You know what, Brother Kenneth? I wish somebody would come out with a truth that said eating a big old hamburger with onions. I'm going to help you. A double hamburger with onion petals and bacon and barbecue sauce was good for you. I wish somebody'd come up with that truth, because I'd claim it, wouldn't you?
John said it's probably on Facebook, so I'm going to look on Facebook if I find it. But you know what? Eggs are good one day. They're not good one day. Steak is good. I don't care what to say about steak. It's good. It's good for you. We grow by taking in truth. We grow spiritually by taking in truth. You cannot grow without this book. You can't go, let's say, well, I go to church. But if you're not preaching the book, you're not growing. You say, oh, I don't go to church where, man, I get excited. Well, that's okay. As long as they're preaching truth. But then what has to be aligned with truth is love. We are to speak the truth in love. Truth and love go together. Now, I want to say this. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to shock you. You ready? Look up here. Here's what we think, Brother Jerry. Because I've heard this and I've said this and you believe this and so do I. We think that we can tell anybody anything as long as we do it in love. And we do. We look at somebody and say, well, I'm going to tell them the truth as long as I do it in love. You're missing it. I was thinking about this morning. You're trying to take on the role of the Holy Spirit, see? You think that you can tell anybody anything you want to tell them. Here's the thing. It's always something negative about them that you're telling them the truth in love about. I just want to see them better. Okay, but what happens when they come to you and tell you the truth in love? You don't hear that. So maybe when we look at this scripture, maybe the truth that we should be telling is not what's wrong with you, but that even though you're a sinner, there's a God in heaven that loves you. Is that truth? Are we speaking the truth in love when we talk about the love of Christ? Sure we are. Here's what I want to leave with you. When you speak to people, and in your mind, you're so self-righteous because you're telling them the truth about them. You ever thought maybe that's not your role? You ever thought maybe the Holy Spirit can do a lot better job than you can? I'm just telling them the truth, praise God. If they can't take it, that's on them. Well, what happens when somebody tells you the truth and you can't take it? Well, they're judging. Here's what I want you to do. If we're to edify, if we're to build up, is what you're saying in truth and in love as you think it is really building up or is it really tearing down? Oh, it's quiet now. Because we think we have the right to tell anybody anything we want to tell them as long as we tell them the truth. Maybe what we'll do is examine ourselves and find out how much truth we have in us. Maybe we ought to examine ourselves this morning and let the Holy Spirit tell us the truth in love. You ever heard the old saying, you can catch a lot more flies with honey? I'm not saying we ought to lie to people, okay? But maybe it just ain't your place to play the Holy Spirit with them either. Well, we better have invitation, hallelujah, because I've lost half the church on that. I thought I could tell anybody anything I want to as long as I said, bless your heart. If I can fix me, if I can let God fix me, maybe what he wants me to do is be the example for those that I would tell the truth in love. Maybe they need to see the truth and love in me and not so much me tell them what the truth is. Maybe the truth I need to be telling them is that there's a Savior that prays for them. When's the last time you told them that truth in love? When's the last time you told a coworker, friend, family member, neighbor, there's a God in heaven that loves you? There's a truth. When's the last time you shared the love of God? There's a truth. See, we always look at the negative. I can criticize and I can correct as long as I do it with love. But maybe what God's wanting us to do is share the love of Christ with others and tell them the truth of God's love. Let's stand together. Stand together, bow our heads all over the auditorium. Thank you for your attention this morning. God sure is merciful to us, isn't he? I want to invite you to come this morning. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. The Holy Spirit spoke to your heart this morning. You need to come get around this old-fashioned altar. Maybe you're not where you need to be this morning. Maybe you're the one pulling the puzzle pieces out. God's trying to put them together. You're taking them apart. Quick as he can put them in, you're trying to take them apart. Won't you come this morning and say, God, I want to work on your team. I want to be the type of person that others see, and you're glorified by what they see. Maybe you need to be the type of prayer warrior that intercedes for others. Listen, you know what? God's timing is always right. And this morning, the message, somebody needed it. Honestly, all of us need it. A lot of times we don't want to hear truth because we know it's truth. Today, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Truth is, God loves you. You may think nobody loves you, but there's a God in heaven that loves you. He wants to see you saved. He wants to see you in heaven.